This is episode 107 of UFO Encounters. In this episode, I'm talking about when UFOs interfered with Soviet and American nuclear weapons. It was a cool autumn evening in southern Ukraine. The year was 1982, and the Cold War was at its most dangerous. The Soviet Union's missile forces were on constant alert. Deep underground, in reinforced concrete bunkers, officers stood watch over the launch systems that could end the world in minutes. At a top-secret base near the city of Bershad, a small group of men were on duty that night when something extraordinary appeared in the sky. It began as a glowing sphere, bright orange and silent, descending from the clouds. The soldiers outside saw it first. They radioed the command post in alarm, describing a massive object hovering directly above the nuclear silos. The officer in charge, Lieutenant Colonel Yuri Savin, at first thought it must be a test or an aircraft in distress. But the object was not on radar. It didn't behave like a plane. It hung motionless in the air, spinning slowly, sending out beams of reddish light that swept over the ground like searchlights. Then, inside the command bunker, the impossible happened. Without any order or human input, the control panels lit up. Warning lights flashed, buzzers sounded. The digital displays began to run through the same sequence used for authorized nuclear launch. The officers froze. The system showed that launch codes were being entered, one after another, perfectly. No one in the room was touching the controls. The equipment responded as though invisible hands were at work. "It was as if the missiles had come alive," one technician later said. "We were watching our own system start the countdown." The officers grabbed their phones, shouting updates to command headquarters. Above them, the glowing craft remained in place, silent and steady, bathing the sight in light. For nearly 15 seconds, the screen showed the words that every missile officer fears: "Launch sequence initiated." Then, just as suddenly, it stopped. The lights went dark. The control panels reset. The system returned to standby mode, as if nothing had happened. Outside, the glowing object tilted, ascended smoothly, and sped off into the sky, vanishing in seconds. The entire event lasted less than 15 minutes, but to the men who lived it, it felt like an eternity. They had watched as their nuclear weapons, weapons designed never to fire without direct human control, were taken over by an unseen force. The following morning, senior officers from Moscow arrived at the site. They ordered everyone involved to remain silent and began an exhaustive investigation. Engineers inspected every circuit and power source. Technicians checked communication lines and computers. No signs of failure or tampering were found. The official report listed the cause as unexplained interference. Behind closed doors, officers whispered that the event had been caused by the glowing craft seen above the base. One intelligence officer wrote in his report that the object appeared to demonstrate control over missile systems and then disengage deliberately. In a world defined by suspicion and secrecy, this was more than strange. It was terrifying. Someone, or something, had entered the heart of the Soviet nuclear arsenal and shown that they could stop or start it at will. For years, no one outside the military knew about what had happened. The story remained locked away in classified archives, buried by the KGB. It wasn't until the early 1990s, after the collapse of the Soviet Union, that retired officers began to talk. Colonel Yuri Savin, one of the witnesses, gave a series of interviews describing the event in calm, precise detail. He explained that the system had activated without warning, that launch indicators lit up across the board, and that the entire control team had stood helpless as the missiles prepared to fire. "We were in complete shock," he said. "All of us understood what it meant. If those missiles launched, there would be no going back." Another officer recalled the object as a massive glowing disc about 300 meters across. He said it hovered silently, moving in perfect synchronization with the silos beneath it. "It was as if something was studying us," he said, "or testing us." To this day, the event is remembered among former Soviet missile officers as the moment when the sky took control. No missiles launched, no explosion followed, but the message seemed clear. Whoever or whatever controlled that craft wanted to show power without destruction. It was a demonstration, not an attack. Afterwards, Soviet intelligence quietly compared reports from other missile sites. Similar sightings have been recorded in the late 1970s and early 1980s. Glowing objects over nuclear storage areas, radar tracks that appeared and vanished, lights that hovered over missile fields. It was as if these unknown visitors were monitoring humanity's most dangerous weapons, reminding both sides that their power could be turned off like a switch. The Ukraine 1982 case remains one of the most striking of these encounters, a moment when the unknown didn't just appear in the sky, but reached into the control room of Armageddon. 18 years before the Ukrainian incident, something equally extraordinary unfolded on the other side of the world. It was September 1964, and the United States was testing a new generation of intercontinental ballistic missiles at Vandenberg Air Force Base on the California coast. These tests were crucial. The missiles were designed to carry nuclear warheads halfway around the world, forming the backbone of America's nuclear deterrent. That day's test involved an unarmed Minuteman missile. It was launched into the sky and tracked by radar and cameras as it sped towards its target area over the Pacific Ocean. Everything went perfectly until something appeared that no one expected. Radar operators noticed a blip approaching the missile at impossible speed. It wasn't another aircraft, and it wasn't part of the test. Technicians checked their equipment. No malfunction. At the same time, high-powered tracking cameras recorded a bright, disc-shaped object entering the missile's flight path. The missile was flying at thousands of miles per hour, yet the object matched its speed easily, moving gracefully around it. Witnesses said it circled the missile several times, emitting flashes of light, as if scanning it. Then, in an instant, the missile's warhead failed. It dropped out of flight and fell into the ocean. The object paused for a moment, then shot off into space. The test was being filmed using a long-range telescopic tracking system. The next day, Air Force officers gathered in a darkened screening room to review the footage. Among them was Lieutenant Robert Jacobs, who had been responsible for the photographic team. When the film played, everyone gasped. The missile was visible as a bright streak moving upward. Then, frame by frame, a glowing disc entered the scene, maneuvered around the missile, emitted four quick flashes of light, and departed. Moments later, the missile's warhead began to tumble. Jacobs said that after the viewing, two men in plain clothes arrived, identified themselves as belonging to a government agency, and took the film. His commanding officer, Major Florenz Mansman, later confirmed this. The men took the footage and warned the officers that the event was now classified. The film was never seen again. For Jacobs, there was no doubt about what he had witnessed. The object was not a meteor, a reflection, or another piece of hardware. It was controlled, intelligent, and purposeful. He believed it was showing the Air Force something, demonstrating that even in flight, America's most advanced weapon could be rendered harmless. It was like it wanted to make a point, he later said. It was as if to say, look, we can control your weapons whenever we choose. Major Mansman, who had viewed the film with him, supported Jacobs' account. He described the object as a classic flying disc that performed precise maneuvers around the missile before disabling the warhead. He called it a structured craft, not a light or illusion. Both men held their stories for years before speaking publicly. They knew the power of what they had seen. The 1982 and Vandenberg 1964 events share remarkable similarities. In both, unknown aerial objects appeared at key moments involving nuclear weapons. In both, those weapons were under the control of an unknown object, and in both, the events seemed to carry a message rather than aggression. By the 1980s, reports like these had accumulated on both sides of the Iron Curtain. In the United States, Air Force officers at bases such as Malmstrom, Minot and Warren described similar experiences, glowing objects hovering above missile silos, followed by sudden system failures. In the Soviet Union, officers at missile and radar installations told of orbs and disks appearing above launch complexes, sometimes interacting with radar beams or disabling power systems. Whether in the skies over California or the plains of Ukraine, these encounters show a consistent truth. The unknown has taken an interest in our nuclear weapons. It has shown control, intelligence, and restraint. Perhaps it watches us not as conquerors or spies, but as caretakers, reminding humanity that some powers are too great to be used in anger. When the lights appeared over the silos in 1982, the missile systems came alive only to shut down again. The men inside that bunker understood something profound. In the silent moment after the lights went dark, one of them whispered, "Someone is protecting us." And maybe that is the real story behind UFOs and nukes. Not fear, but guardianship. A quiet, otherworldly hand keeping the doomsday clock from reaching midnight. This episode I was talking about when UFOs interfered with Soviet and American nuclear weapons. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.